Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome back to Talkville, the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast, where each week we go back, way back, watch an episode of the show, and discuss it with fans like you.
That's my announcer voice. Welcome, Tom Welling. Welcome, Ryan Tayes.
Hello, sirs. I'm excited for this episode. We get a lot of Pete.
We get a lot of Pete. And how many seasons did Pete last? Do we know?
Four or five.
Did he?
It wasn't a... I know the details. I don't think I should share them here, but it wasn't a friendly goodbye. I think there were some... As you know from some of your conversations with the studio, I think there were a few little things that could have just been agreed upon and everything would have been fine. And Sam was just like, nah, I'm out.
It looks like he's done at the end of season three.
So this is
And then
his
he
last
returns
season.
For an episode of season seven.
Wow, he only did three.
That sucks.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah.
But here we are.
Our socials, at Talkville Podcast and all socials. I thought it was at Talkville Pod on Twitter, but again, we go back and forth here, but you can figure it out. You can find everything on my Linktree. Go to Linktree at the Michael Rosenbaum Instagram. You can find out where me and Tom are going, all our cons. Go to Talkville Podcast if you want to get Zooms with me and Tom, special merch, so much cool stuff. The Inside of You online store has a bunch of Smallville merch, script signed, bunch of stuff. So you might want to check that out as well. And you got these awesome jackets that I'm wearing here. Yes, that's right.
Also, I want to say, if you want to know where Michael and I are, check Michael's Linktree, because I don't have one.
Yeah. Yeah. Tom doesn't have one. And the hotline, 213-JET-CUTE. But you can find out all that information on all the socials and all that stuff. I'm on the Cameo. Maybe Tom will get back on the Cameo. And we're doing lots of patron stuff. In fact, today after this, we're doing a Smallville After Dark. We're doing a little bonus episode for our patrons, and patrons also get their names shouted out every once in a while. Tom and I do a Zoom with all the top tier patrons. And so join it, help the podcast out, patreon.com/Talkville. Without further ado, let's get into season three, episode 13. This is Velocity. Aired February 11, 2004. Jeannot Schwartz was the director. Second and last episode this season. Todd Slavkin, Darren Swimmer, love these guys. They wrote it. Guest star, Ian Somerhalder, Adam Knight, Camille Mitchell, Sheriff, Nancy Adams, Francois Yip as Dr. Leah Tang, Ryan Merriman as Jason Dante.
I mean, this is an all-star crew, writer, director, actors. Like, this is a... They set this up to be good. They tried to set it
yeah.
up to be good. I don't know.
Yeah.
I still wanted Paula Abdul's Rush to start out the sequence.
That would You know been... what? I thought that too. Want to hear you for me, Rush. In fact, it's so funny. I text, name drop here. I text Paula a week ago because Rush came on the radio. And I go, I'm listening to my favorite song. And she goes, oh, you're adorable. Thank you so much, Michael. She's so sweet. Paula Abdul, legend. Synopsis, Pete's decision to break away from being a sidekick lands him in trouble with a dangerous street racing gang. How did he start getting mixed up with this and Clark didn't know? Anyway.
You know, you start with motorcycles. It's a gateway drug into hot rod drag racing.
I guess. Clark must save his friend, but figuring out why his father's health is weakening at the same time. All the while, Lex is determined to uncover the secrets of Lana's new boy toy. So the episode begins where the last one left off. Jonathan unconscious. However, this time he's in Smallville Medical recovering from his heart attack. Clark says he feels like this is his fault, of course, and that maybe Jor-El gave Jonathan powers. The powers were too much for his body to handle.
What I love about this real quick is you see Jonathan with the remote control for the TV and like despising it. Like Jonathan doesn't watch TV. You know what I mean? He like doesn't like it. And then for some reason, Clark brings in pizza. Jonathan doesn't eat pizza.
Especially just had a heart attack. You're getting your dad a pizza. Like, come on. By the way, that's really insulting that he doesn't watch TV, because as you recall in the last episode, or maybe this episode, maybe it's this episode, Lex gets him a DVD player.
It is this episode.
Yeah. It's this episode. So I guess he's not going to watch those Westerns.
People don't understand him.
As Martha and Clark drive home, they are almost T-boned by a couple souped-up cars that are street racing. Clark decides to pursue the fast and furious drivers before they kill someone. He ends up discovering an illegal street racing event. Even more surprising, his friend Pete, the boss, Ross, is one of the drivers. I immediately just go, he's racing cars. This whole episode is going to be about racing cars. And you know what? I hate cars.
Fast and Furious.
I'm not in the cars. I've never seen a Fast and Furious. I never will. It's just so ridiculous. I just, you know, that's how I feel about it.
If they were racing custom vans, would you have been more interested?
Now that is a cool story. The next day, Clark goes to check on his friend and finds him working on cars with Dante. Dante speed shames Clark's pickup and leaves the two to talk. Clark scolds his friend for his illegal activity, and Pete asks him not to rat out on him. Lana visits Adam, and evidence of a doppelganger named Chad Nash with a similar piano and karate skills was reported dead months ago. She demands answers. Before he can explain, a drop of blood comes from Adam's eye, and he rushes her out. That was kind of creepy.
I mean,
the blood from the eye. I mean, is enough enough?
Super creepy.
You know, here's the thing. In the real world, any of these little things, I would be gone. Like if I was talking to a girl and she was already a little weird and then blood came out of her eye, I go, hey, see you later. I'll give you a call tomorrow. I'm done. Not because blood out of her eye, but like all the weird stuff. But these people in this town, we let things go on and on and on, and it gets us into trouble where most people would just say, I'm a good judge of character. I'd be like, I'm not hanging out with any of you guys. I'm moving. I don't know. I'm getting out of here. This is too much. This town's too much. Chloe takes a visit to Luther Mansion to gossip with Lex about Adam. She tells him that the vial she took from the apartment contains platelets unlike anything anyone has ever seen. She looked into his medical records and found that Dr. Leah Tang, a molecular biology professor at Metropolis University, was visiting Adam while in the hospital.
Ooh. I mean,
that's the only thing we can add.
I just want to talk about Pete's jacket.
Oh, yeah.
What a great jacket he had. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Back on the road, Clark stops Pete to scold. By the way, I like NASCAR. I think that's cool. Like, that's a sport.
You do?
Well, I like Jimmy Johnson.
That surprises me.
Jimmy Johnson became a friend. I did a show where he was a guest star, and he would invite me to a lot of his shows, his racing. What do you call them? Racing.
Racing shows.
Shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it a meet?
And I a race. Just a race. It's just a race. Huh. To his races.
Yeah.
And
his racing performance.
It was awesome. You put those headphones on and I'm right above the pit with the guys and I'm how they do this. And it was awesome. It is.
Because there's a lot with those headphones on. Some people call them cans.
You hear him talking to them. You know,
there's
like,
a lot going on. There's a lot going on that you don't know about if you're just watching it.
Yeah.
Well, did you get into Formula One like everyone did during the pandemic? I didn't.
I did.
No.
I did.
You did. I didn't. Back on the road, Clark stops Pete to scold him more for racing dangerous kryptonite-fueled cars. Pete barks back, claiming that finally he's found something to do and doesn't want to be the sidekick anymore. I mean, you know, Tom, you have any memories of this scene with Sammy?
I just remember being really impressed by Sam's power. If you know what I mean, like his energy and his conviction.
Yeah.
One of the things I wish Clark would have said is like, you know, Sam or Pete, you know everything about me. You know things that nobody knows. And I don't know who you are right now. Like, I didn't know the side of you. This is like his Clark Kent Superman thing. Mm-hmm. Like Sam or Pete's been keeping this to himself for a long time.
Yeah.
Long time.
And inadvertently, maybe Clark's had so many other things going on that he hasn't paid attention to his friend.
Right.
And now his friend's caught up in this bad circle trying to be somebody. You know that I can be somebody.
And with Clark's super hearing in Smallville, he never heard these cars before racing around.
Yeah. And I love
never
how that,
once.
Yeah,
Clark even when he was blind and he could hear everything, he didn't hear this.
Yeah. Okay. That would have been funny. I'm like, what's that? We'll see it in a few episodes, what you're hearing.
That would have been good.
Clark goes to visit his father, who's adamant about returning to the farm. Clark talks to his father about taking his friendship with Pete for granted, and Jonathan tells him to give it some time. That night on the street racing circuit, we see Pete preparing for a race while Dante tells him he needs to take a dive for once. The race begins and Pete begins to fall back. His need for speed takes over. He hits the kryptonite NOS button or whatever it is, accelerating the car and winning him
nitrogen.
The race. Dante is beside himself angry because this little move ends up costing him $20,000.
So one thing that didn't happen in this episode that looking back I wish would have happened. This is a great opportunity to get John Schneider in a car against Pete that says, Pete, you want to do like, having Jonathan try to like
right after his heart attack
him a little bit. Yeah. And just being like, he'd been like, Pete, I'll race you for pink slips. If I win, you quit. If you win, you know what I mean? Like that. I don't know. That's maybe a little too dramatic, but
I would have liked to seen John race though. That would have been cool. The next day at Smallville Medical, Clark runs into Lana, who's visiting and looking for Adam. Clark decides to not pry too much into her situation and thanks her for visiting Jonathan. Over in Metropolis, Lex pays a visit to Dr. Tang, following up on Chloe's lead. He asks about Adam Knight. She tries to play dumb and tell Lex that he's seen too many sci-fi movies. He leaves but makes it known that he's not done digging. Pete goes to visit Jonathan in the hospital. As he leaves, he has a talk with Clark and explains that he's gotten too deep in this illegal street racing ring. He shares that he owes $20,000, so Clark tells him to lay low while he figures out something. Clark goes to investigate Pete and Dante's garage and finds a locker with a bunch of stolen license plates. By the way, again, Sam in these scenes was just so connected. It's almost like he was fighting for his...
You job
know, for his job.
Well, he's like, barely been featured.
He was so good and he never been featured. And whenever he has something to do, he steps up.
Yeah.
He obviously has some chops. And you know, it's a shame that he didn't. Some of the smaller characters are less they don't explore them as much. And you know, Pete was in the comic books, I believe. Pete Ross and his dad owned a corn company or whatever, Corn on the Cob. But
what company?
I don't know. Didn't he have
a corn,
not porn.
I thought you said something else.
Anyway, Clark takes this information about the license plates to his partner in journalism, Chloe. She says Dante is more Grand Theft Audio than Indy 500.
Grand Theft Auto.
What'd I say?
Grand Theft Audio.
Grand Theft Auto. She suggests that maybe she should talk to Pete because it's likely that he and Clark have some sort of unspoken sibling rivalry. You know, again, Allison steps up. She's great in the scenes. You're great in the scenes. I didn't have a problem with, I think it was the material. It was just like, I didn't really.
It felt like it was trying to be a PSA for a lot of it.
Yeah.
Like against illegal street.
Don't
like
be this. Driving fast. It's bad.
Like
Clark was real preachy with him.
Yeah.
Clark was real preachy. There was lines where I was like, he's like, it's dangerous. Okay. He was like, dangerous. That's all you do is go deal with dangerous shit. Clark narcs on Dante, and next thing you know, his shop is being held up at gunpoint by sheriff and three other officers. Stay right there! First of all, would it be the sheriff that does it or FBI? Maybe it's a sheriff at first. The sheriff shows up to the Kent farm and thanks Clark for nothing. The barn was clean, and this tip from you just ended up wasting taxpayer money. You're as reliable as a local weatherman in Los Angeles. That's a little.
What did she say about the storm? Next time you predict a storm, make sure it's raining or something.
Next time you predict a storm, you better make sure it's raining, son.
Whoever wrote that line just put their pen down and walked away for the rest of the day.
Yeah, it's like done. Pen drop. Talkville is brought to you by our good friends at AG1. Yes, AG1. How many times do we have to tell you how amazing AG1 is and that we use it all the time? For us, it's the energy, it's the focus, it's life-changing. It really is. You know, we've been doing this for the last few years, drinking AG1 every day, no exceptions. It's just one scoop mixed in with water once a day, every day, and it helps make me feel really, really good. I notice a substantial difference. And instead of taking tons of pills every day, this stuff's loaded with vitamins. This is, you know, prebiotics, probiotics, all of it is right here in one glass that you just mix with some water and done. That's it. Start a healthy routine now with AG1. Tommy?
I mean, I love it. It tastes good. It feels good. It makes everything else feel good. As it works with your system, it's easy to say it's a good win.
Yes, I know. Look, we're getting essential brain support, gut and immune health, vitamins, probiotics, nutrients from whole foods. I like to think of it as a nutritional insurance. I know I'm covering my nutritional bases right from the start of every day. We take it in the morning. We take it when we travel. There's travel packs. It's all there for you. And change your routine, guys. Get it going with AG1. If there's a product I had to recommend to elevate your health, it is AG1, and that's why we've partnered with them for so long. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/talkville. That's drinkag1.com/talkville. Check it out. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We talk about this all the time. The stigma is going away. It's important for us all to talk about our feelings, about our life with someone we can talk to, someone who's objective, who's a professional. So many people have done this. I've been doing this for a long time. It helps. Ryan here, you can't see him, but he uses BetterHelp. So many of my friends do, and it works for so many people. And we all carry around different stressors, big and small. And at times we keep carrying them around rather than processing them and letting them go. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Therapy from BetterHelp is helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. I know a lot of people think that. It's not for just those people. It's for all of us. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Talkville today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Talkville.
Clark heads to his loft to decompress and gets surprised by Pete, who is bloody, beaten, emerging from the shadows. He got jumped by Dante, who thought Pete ratted him out. Apparently, Dante had a man on the inside that tipped him off on the raid. Pete is frantic, desperate, pleading for Clark to rob an ATM to get the money needed to save him and his family. And let me tell you,
it could have been very easy.
He was awesome in this scene. I was like writing and watching at the same time, and he forced me with his acting to take notice. Like, it was so sad, so intense. He really committed, and it came across great. Like, I felt bad for Pete. Way to go, Sam. Pete understands that Clark won't get dirty to save him and is determined to find a way to put this to an end.
I like that argument. He's like, Clark, I protect you all the time. You go out there, you're protecting all these people. I'm finally asking you for help, and you're just going to sit there and preach to me? I like that dialogue that they have to.
Yeah, and we'll get to something that just was, to me, the biggest shock of the series. I'll get to that. Yeah, I know you're thinking right now. Clark decides to go pay a visit to Lex. He needs a favor to the tune of 20 G's cash. Lex doesn't give him the cash, but he does give him some good advice. Be careful. I kind of thought that was shitty. I'm like, Lex, he's asking for money. He never asks for anything. He's desperate. Give him 20 grand. 20 grand is like a dollar to most people. But he didn't. As Lex leaves, Clark notices his friend's Porsche keys and decides to steal his car. It was odd. It was a little odd.
Uh-huh.
You know, why didn't he just... I guess he was going to give it back, so... Very uncharacteristic of Clark, though. He never see him do stuff like that, which I'll get to. Clark takes the car back to Pete, tells him it will be the bounty for a race between Pete and Dante to settle the debt. Pete is worried because Dante has never lost a race, but Clark tells him that he will use heat vision to tamper with his car. Pete's stoked, but Clark is conflicted, going against all his morals to help his friend. They go to the garage to arrange the race with Dante, and Clark uses his super hearing to overhear Dante planning to rig Pete's car with a bomb to blow the boss to bits. Clark goes to call off the race, but is disarmed when he gets clocked over the head with kryptonite machinery by my buddy Mike, who is the stunt guy. Old Mike. I love that guy. He's such a good guy to be around. I forgot his last name. Mike. Gosh.
Oh, he was the big guy with the kryptonite tube?
Yes. He was such a good dude. He always worked on Smallville, and he was like really good Canadian guy who you didn't mess with either, though. He's like, hey, how are you? Good to see you. And then if he ever went like this, you backed up. They toss Clark into the trunk, hit the road for some daytime drag racing, and the race begins, and Pete starts to fall behind. He decides to go against his friend's wishes and use the kryptonite boost to accelerate the car. Ironically, using the kryptonite releases it from where Clark was stored and allows him to regain strength to save the day. Before Pete can hit 100 miles an hour and trigger the bomb, Clark cuts a line to the engine, causing Pete to slow down, oil to leak on the road, and Dante to flip his car several times over and die. First Clark manslaughter. Now,
yeah,
this, it's funny because...
It's exciting. Exciting chase. You didn't know what was going to happen.
I like that.
That's true.
Well, you know what's funny is I wrote a spec script for Smallville, and I gave it to Greg Beeman, who loved it. Then I gave it to the writers, and they're like, oh, we can't do something like that, because in the episode, I still have the episode somewhere, I wrote a whole episode. That's what you do when you're in your trailer for hours.
We should do a reading.
We should.
For patron members.
We should.
Yeah.
Let me find it. But what happened is Clark super speeding through the rain or whatever and just enjoying life. And he
like a puppy?
A car's coming just like, straight on the water. And it turns and he can't save the car in time. And it's kind of his fault. And the person dies. And there's this whole thing where Clark has to deal with the fact that his strengths, I forgot exactly what it was, but his strengths can inadvertently do harm to people, and his like, this is what caused it, or maybe it hits him and the person in the car dies or something like that. I can't remember, but it was really a cool story, and it weaves in and out. It was really just really dark, go figure. But then you go ahead and do something like this where you inadvertently kill someone, and I'm like, wait a minute, they just did that.
Yeah,
but it was just it was shocking because it was a different, it was completely different than any other show. That moment where not only does Clark steal the car, but then is responsible for this kid dying, even though he was going to kill Pete and he had every reason to do it. But it was also Clark's idea. So this, we haven't seen this before, but I liked it. I liked the darkness of it, that it happened. It was, that's what saved the episode for me, is that I'm
yeah,
like,
and they
wow.
They kind of tease this in the episode before where Martha's like, you know, it's a responsibility to make these choices. Sometimes you do things and other people get hurt as a result. I mean, this is a carryover, I think, from the previous episode of Clark realizing this.
Yeah. How'd you feel about it, Ryan?
I felt weird. Well, because they said, oh my God, I think he's dead. And like, okay, great. We're going to cut to the hospital, like next scene. Mm-hmm. And then they just didn't. And then we find out that he actually died. And that's when it sunk in. I was like,
wait a minute.
They just killed this motherfucker?
Yeah, I just killed this person. Hey, man.
And then can they do that?
Clark picked up Pete and the Mustang and super speeded away from the scene.
I guarantee the studio.
That's a crime scene.
The studio probably said, he's in the hospital at the end. He didn't die.
I'm so shocked they didn't do that.
Yeah, it's so uncharacteristic of the studio, of Smallville, of like everything that Smallville is. And that's why I liked it, because I was like, oh, He's dead. Clark killed him. I mean, it, you know.
He did, though. He did. He killed that guy.
Because didn't he fire? No.
The, he was
the
trying.
Kid, no, the guy slips on the gasoline.
Yeah, he caused the gasoline. Like, he started the. Yeah, like,
yeah, but the guy put a bomb in his car. So I don't blame Clark, but Clark kind of killed him. Later on, Dr. Tang barges into Lex's office, upset that he has gotten the university to restrict her funding and threaten her tenure. Lex goes on to threaten that the federal charges for illegal drug trials could be more severe. He then blackmails her to share everything she knows. That night, we cut to a scene in the Talon loft where Adam is having more night terrors. This time, we see blood crying again with lesions on his body. He injects himself and the symptoms subside. Lana shows up looking for answers, but Adam again denies her, threatens her to keep her mouth shut, and tells her to forget about it. And this is the point where you really hate Adam. This is like, all right, this guy's a joke.
I mean, here she is trying to be so open-minded, and, you know, it goes back to the whole thing of, like, maybe Clark could be honest with Lana. I mean, she's so open-minded and, like, caring about people in these situations, and yet she's burned.
Well, think about this. She goes out with some dude that could create energy and all these things. Then she is hanging out with this other dude who has these other powers. And, like, it goes on and on. At this point, Clark should be like, well, if she's going out with these guys, I could try, you know. Me telling her something is not going to blow her away here.
Wait, what's this? So Clark goes up and says, hey, Lana, I've noticed the type of guys you've been dating. They have all got a lot of powers. I'd like to share something with you.
Yeah. That night, Lex shows up to the Kent barn, talk with Clark about the mysterious joyride of his Porsche. I like how nonchalant and knowing, like, wow, you're lying to me. Okay. Yeah, somebody took the Porsche for a ride, but they don't know who it was. They think it was, like, you know, one, but no big deal. No.
No, but he knows.
He knows.
He did it. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. That's why he's there.
It was good. It was great.
Okay. It's like, okay, Clark, whatever. And this is when the lies start pouring in throughout the years. He sends his regards to Jonathan and then tells Clark that sometimes you have to cross the line for a friend in need, so he understands. The next morning, Jonathan's welcome home to low-sodium turkey. Clark shares that he may have crossed the line to save a friend. Jonathan tells Clark that as he grows up, he'll understand that there's more of a gray area and things are less black and white. He then goes on to share that the deal he made with Jor-El could be contributing to his poor health, but he does not regret it. Now, why would you even tell Clark this? Hey, I don't want you to feel bad. In fact, earlier I said it has nothing to do with you, but I just thought about this. You know, it might. Your real dad, he's killing me.
When I was watching this and he was talking, all I could think about was how handsome and how good Jonathan Schneider looked. And I was like, you're right. You are healthy. Look at you.
Yeah. He looks so young.
You look great.
What's crazy is, like I said, I think John...
He's younger than you guys.
Was 10 years younger than I am now. That's crazy. That's crazy time. The episode ends with Pete showing up to apologize to Clark, saying that as long as he lives, he will never let this happen again. Clark is visibly distraught after having killed somebody and can't put it aside to play a game of one-on-one with his former sidekick.
Wait, you didn't see the opening of this scene with the baskets I was making? I shot one. I was like flipping it. I was like really proud of myself that those went in.
I like it. Three in a row. Yeah.
Just saying.
But, you know, this was really sad. This is a really sad, tragic moment that I didn't expect. I thought they'd be buddies again. And I like that the show let this friendship sizzle out for a second. I did you a favor. Now leave me alone because I'm devastated by this. I helped my friend and it was costly. And that severed the relationship. And we ended on a sad note, like, wow, he doesn't really talk to Lana. He's not talking to Pete now, really. He's not in the mood for Pete. His dad just had a heart attack. His mom keeps turning back, looking at him when he's in the kitchen.
Pete's wearing a blue sweater and a quilted jacket at the same time.
Yeah.
Everything's wrong in the world.
I thought Dante did a good job. He was a good actor. Yeah. He did a good job. Interesting things of note. In the comics, there was a male Dr. Tang at LexCorp. Mm. Tang developed the cloning process responsible for creating Bizarro and later oversaw the cloning of Lex Luthor. The season 3 DVD contains two deleted scenes. One, Clark tells Chloe that he is researching the street races, and Chloe tells Clark that Jason Dante flunked out of driver's training the first day. Two, Clark arrives at Dante's barn and finds his girlfriend locking up. Two deleted scenes that no one cares about. Thanks, Bryce. Now it's time for the hotline. Talk here it is, guys. 213-JET-CUTE. We've got some great questions today. I'm sure of it. I hope you left them at below 20 or 30 seconds. But here we go. Patron privilege. I love you. Patreon.com/TalkVille. If you want to leave questions and join us and support the show. Here we go. Here's Thomas. Thomas, what do you got for us?
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Macy's, Adidas, Walmart, Nike, Wine.com, Samsung, Lenovo, Sephora, and more. And even stack sales on top of cashback. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey, it's Thomas the Leaf Blower with a question for the Season 3 episode Velocity. Now, you guys always talk about how you get to drive the cars now and then. In this episode, you guys had some supercars, which looked like Sam got to drive. But did you two get to drive any behind the scenes or just when they had them on some downtime?
Yeah, I always drove the cars, the Porsche, Ferrari, Lamborghinis, Maseratis. They always let me drive them. They were always a little skeptical, but I like to take little joy rides out for them. Sometimes they go, all right, Rosie, just go up to that mark up there where the stop sign is and turn the car around and we'll give you your cue on the walkie. And I go, great. And they're like, Rosie. I'm like, yeah, dude. Oh yeah. This stop sign. They're like, yes, there's only that stop. Oh, okay. You know, I would drive an extra half a mile just to see, you know, what it feels like. And you know, cause I never had a fancy car. Tom, you never really drove cars except like pickup truck where you kill
I would only drive the car if I knew that me getting out of the car and hitting a mark would be one shot and no other coverage if they were going to do it, because it was a waste of my time. I mean, it sounds like a dick, but like, why am I going to spend all the time driving this car if you're just going to cut away anyway to this other thing?
Yep.
There's professional people who are here and hired to do that, and they can do it better than I can. Let's have them drive it.
This is for the episode Velocity. My question is for Michael. In the scene where Clark ultimately gets the car keys from Lex for the Porsche, and given the way you deliver the line and tell Clark to be careful, do you think Lex was actually trying to help Clark in that scene, or was he trying to test Clark to see if he'd cross the line and do something that was more gray in this episode? Thanks.
Maybe it was a life lesson.
I think he was talking about the bridge.
I don't think so. It was before you took the car. Right? Aren't you talking about when he says be careful before he leaves and then Clark steals the car? I don't think so. I think he was just saying, like, he looks desperate. Let's see how he acts and what he does. I'm not giving him the 20 grand. Maybe he was testing him.
It was a little bit of both. It was like a help and a test. He wasn't going to directly do it, but he's like, here's an option for you, Clark.
Be careful.
See if you can cross the line.
Here's an option. Be careful. I'm not giving you shit.
I think it'd been really funny if there was like another little, like a little troll doll on Lex's keychain. Just like a little guy.
All right, here's AJ. AJ, what you got for us?
AJ? Hi, this is AJ from Connecticut. Huge fan of the show. I had a question for you guys. Is it ever brought up again that it's one of the first times Pete and Clark actively played a role in someone's death? I always thought it was weird that they just walked away with no regret out of it. Let me know what you guys think. Bye.
Yeah, I think they did walk away with regret. I think they both had regret, and it was obvious on Tom or Clark's face at the end that he did. This is the first time this has happened. So,
yeah, I think that there might have been a little taking advantage of what the audience knows in the writer's room. Like, because the audience knew the guy was a bad guy, I think they kind of may have let Pete and Clark off the hook a little bit about how they felt about it. Because the audience is like, well, they were bad guys anyway.
I think if you guys would have played basketball at the end, it would have looked really bad. Oh, look, they're happy. They just killed a guy. But they didn't. They ended it in the right note.
Well, it's also kind of hinting that they're going to kick Sam off the show in a way.
I know.
Now that I know that.
Well, I guess. I mean, because it is getting to the end of season three.
Yeah.
We're past the midway point here. So I don't know. I don't remember any of this. So it's going to be a surprise to me how they do it. Here is Michelle.
Hey, guys. This is Michelle. Loving the podcast. So I'm watching season 3, episode 13, Velocity. And Pete is street racing fancy cars and whatnot. Do you think the writers, creators, and all that decided to do a racing episode because the Fast and the Furious came out in 2001 and then Too Fast, Too Furious came out in 2003?
Probably.
And this episode was 2003?
Probably.
Yeah.
I would say yes, of course. But in listening to that question, I was thinking it probably would have felt more genuine if Pete was racing off-road dirt bikes for some reason. I think the flashiness of those cars that neither of you or I really care about took us out of it.
It would have been harder with bikes.
Doing something we saw, or if he was like really into cross-country racing.
How about Hot Wheels?
But he like had to take a dive, something like that, you know?
Yeah, maybe. Here's O'Sherry. Who's saying that? Oh, Sherry.
Eddie Rabbit?
Steve Perry from Journey.
Darn.
Solo career.
Hello, Sherry from Virginia. My question for season 3, episode 13. Why wasn't Lana freaking out more over Adam? And why hasn't she kicked him out already? Thanks.
Because Lana never kicks people out. She just lets things happen on and on and on, doesn't she, guys? I mean, she should have kicked half the guys out of her life.
Well, she has been knocked out, like unconscious, a lot.
Yeah. What do they do? Do they roll dice or flip a coin? Like, who's going to be unconscious this week? Jonathan, Lex, Lana, Chloe, Pete.
Clark. It's Clark this time.
You know, I bet they've done that. We're like, and Lana does this. Like, no, she was knocked out last episode. We can't do it. We'll do it the next episode. I don't know. It's difficult. Here's John. John's got a stunt question.
Hey, Michael and Tom. This is John from Yorktown, New York. My question is for Tom. Tom, in the scene where Clark runs in front of Pete to stop him, that's clearly not you. So I was just curious, when lead actors and shows, do you guys not have the time to do those type of stunts, or they don't allow you to? Thanks, guys.
A lot of it is, and it's the actor, the director, the first AD, a lot of it is like, whose face are you going to see in the shot? If you're not going to see the actor's face, you use the stunt double, because the stunt double's probably had more preparation to be ready for it. And if anything were to go wrong, your actor is not hurt. I think that's a big part of it. So a lot of times, if you don't see the actor's face, it probably wasn't the actor.
Yeah. And sometimes Tom could be on first unit and they're shooting second unit and they need him to run up, and they're not just going to have him for that moment. If they need that moment, they're going to use a stunt double.
Right.
So there's a lot of variables. Time is usually the biggest one. And here's Leanne.
Hey, guys, it's Leanne P., your patron from Sacramento. So, Tom, in this episode, you're the one that got to drive the fancy-schmancy car, the Porsche. So as I was watching the scene, I was wondering, did you drive it around crazy and funky monkey as Michael did? Well, when y'all weren't shooting. Thanks.
Bye. I never really drove like crazy. I just drove it. Tom? No, you didn't.
I think my question is probably not. I was, when it comes to that stuff, I try to be very efficient and do it right the first time so we can move on to something else.
Yeah, that's Tom for you. Me on the other hand,
yeah.
Let's milk it. Here's Michael. Hi, Michael. Great name.
Hey guys, Michael here. I was wondering, how come Pete was such a secondary character who was not afforded much of a genuine character arc throughout the show? He was so great in this episode. I'm surprised that he wasn't given more screen time. What are your thoughts?
Great question, Michael. We said the same thing. We thought he just wasn't utilized. And I guess it's hard to, you know, to really work with every actor and give them big storylines. I mean, you know, you've got Martha and Jonathan that want storylines, but remember the story is about Clark and
Lex.
The secondary would be Lex, like it's Clark and Lex and their friendship. Well, and so Alan, everything Alan else isn't as before. Important. So in their eyes. And so, you know, they have scenes and they work, but like it would give them more to do, I think, if they said, hey, let's do a storyline like this. But I think they feel like the story needs to center around, you know, Clark and what happens around him for the most part. So I don't know. I agree with you, but, you know, it's easier said than done. Stewie, you there? Stewie?
Hey guys, this is Stewie from Australia. Just wondering if you guys realize that the scene where Pete presses the NOS into his car, that's basically this exact same cut from Fast and the Furious when Paul Walker puts the NOS into his car. Thanks, guys.
Stewie, never saw Fast and Furious, but I take your word for it. Did anybody see? Obviously, it's a huge movie and people. I just don't
know. I've seen them all.
You've seen them all?
You've seen them all?
I haven't seen all of them.
Yeah.
It's like ridiculous. I don't like watching things that are, look, if you're doing Indiana Jones, hey, it's a guy, he doesn't have superpowers. Great. He figures stuff out. It's kind of funny. It's amusing. It's an adventure. I get it. Goonies, kids looking on a mission, trying to find One-Eyed Willie and blah, blah, blah. And it's great. There's a lot of those movies. But when you go, hey, we're going to race cars and they're going to fall from helicopters and they're going to jump over bridges and it's just car, car, car and beautiful
people. What about
people,
the submarines?
I just have no interest. But I don't, look, you guys could hate me, but I don't watch like, look, horror movies, documentaries, some comedies, and occasionally, you know, another movie that's not those. But when it comes to like the John Wick stuff and the Bourne Identities, I'm not saying they're not good movies, and the Fast and the Furious, things that are just so incredulous, like almost like they have superpowers, but they don't. I'm not interested. I'm not interested in those kind of movies. I like The Hunt for Red October. I like Crimson Tide. They're in a submarine. There's a coup. And you know, I like stuff like that at least in my mind, I can go, I could buy this. I believe this. And when something, and that's what happens to me in these episodes, I'm taken out because I'm just like, I don't buy that at all. So there has to be a semblance, some sort of tangible thing that I can go, okay, I'm going to let that go. I buy into that. But some of these movies and shit, I just cannot do it.
I mean, first of all, the Bourne Identity is on a completely different tier, I think. And also the Fast and the Furious movies, they're all about family.
Are they? Yeah. No, Bourne Identity, I watched the first one and I was like, that was good. It was really good. But I was like, it's too much for me. It's just too much. The Matrix, the 20-minute fight scenes, all that stuff is great. It's just not. That's not what I gravitate
towards. What's your favorite action movie then?
Favorite action movie, ask me.
I also think that it doesn't speak to you because innately you don't want to be that guy who has these qualities.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad way. Like you don't fantasize about, oh, I'd be a CIA operative with these. I could be a sniper and I could do all these. Yeah, I don't think you ever think about that stuff.
No, like, but I like American Sniper. I like war movies. I like stuff like that. I like things that are a little grounded or history or reality based. Like I said, Bourne Identity, I watched it. I just was like exhausted after a scene. Like I saw the trailer for Everything All at Once, that movie that won the Oscar. I didn't see it
great.
Because the trailer made me like nauseous.
Oh, it's
it was so much great. Going on. It was too crazy for me. I was like, let's calm down a minute.
You gotta watch that one because it's really about motherhood.
Yeah.
At the end of it, everything all at once, all the time. That's
it's all about.
About
allegories.
It's really great. Mm-hmm.
Everything's allegorical these days. No, I'm not saying it. Like I wait to watch movies a lot of times, but like you said, best my favorite action movie.
Okay.
I don't know. That's a tough one.
That isn't Die Hard.
Would Aliens be sort of action?
Yeah.
Action adventure. Now, why I like that one? Because it's in another world. It's the future. way into the future. We've already discovered this alien creature that came from a planet. Very believable that could happen. Gets on the ship, infects everybody, kills everybody, and then they find out that this colony has not had any communication for the sequel. And so she's got to go back to and all this stuff. And I'm in. I'm like, I believe that. In the future, and this crazy, and in my mind, my imagination will go there. But when I have, you know, I'm in modern day, and cars are falling out of helicopters, and people are doing 360s around other people. I'm just like, I saw Baby Driver. I just saw Baby Driver. And I liked it. I mean, it lost me at the end. It got so stupid. But for the most part, it was like, okay, this guy drives a getaway car. I go, okay, that's believable. Then I started, then it gets nuts at the end. But anyway, Tom, what's your favorite action movie?
I have no idea.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy. Woo! And sadness. Oh. And anger. Definitely some disgust.
Rose!
And I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
I love action movies. I watch almost every action movie. Like I love the stunts. I love the editing. I love how they try to make things look real that obviously aren't, like the John Wicks of it all. Like, obviously that doesn't make any sense, but I still will be the first one to watch it when it comes out.
Yeah. You know, like the first blood, Rambo First Blood. I bought into it because this was this veteran who came back to this town and people are treating him like crap and he has to defend himself. And I bought it. But then when it started getting into Rambo 2 and 3 and 4, I didn't give a shit. I'm like, I don't need to see this. It's the same thing. No, you know, that I thought that was good. I love Commando. That was kind of this, you know, futuristic, you know,
the chopper.
Yeah, but then it got stupid. Most of these movies get just stupid. Most sequels are stupid.
Predator.
How many great sequels are there? I can name you a million that aren't.
Empire Strikes Back.
You know, Empire Strikes Back could be one of the best sequels in history.
Aliens,
one of the best in history.
One of the toughest things about sequels is the first films spend half or 75% about character. And then there's a climax of action that brings you, that closes out the film. Then they jump into the sequel and they're like, now we have to make 75% more of a movie than we did the last time with no character. And so there are a lot of times they're just trying to fit it in. We've seen Indiana Jones, the Star Wars, all those things. If you're in, you're in. Like, I'm not a big Star Wars guy. It just doesn't speak to me, but I can watch Indiana Jones for some reason. You know, it's like, that's all fine.
Yep.
You know,
international folks, Jean, I'm sure it's Jean. Tom, any memories filming in that trunk? Was it some sort of makeshift prop or all practical? What was it?
It's funny you say that. I bet they built it, because I'm sure I'm too big to be in that trunk with a camera and a camera crew at the same time. That's my reasoning. Like, I could have fit in the trunk, but there'd be no room for a camera.
All right. Rosenbaum rating.
You know, I want to go back to the previous episode and give it one rose, because then I could easily give this one just a heater. But I can't go back. So a heater again, two heaters in a row.
Heater.
Just because of Pete's acting.
I did. It was the only
And the moment at the end and a couple of tiny things, I'll give it a heater as well. I was thinking a bomb.
Yeah, I don't think it deserves a bomb.
Maybe not a bomb because of P's performance.
I think Sam gets three roses.
Yeah.
Sam
but
gets
the episode
three roses.
I just didn't care about the cars.
Death and save count.
Death.
One dead. Clark kills Dante. One save. Clark saves Pete through 13 episodes in season three. 15 dead, 22 saved.
Is that a Martha scene? Well, Clark, listen, you killed one, but you saved one.
Yeah, it's okay, son. As long as you're even. 74 dead, 92 saved in this series. Ryan's favorite scene.
Yeah. This is tough. This is what I was trying to decide in that Instagram post. Just it was me trying to decide on a scene for this one. But I got one. All right. Scene one, Bloody Pete. Bloody Pete in the loft.
Okay.
Scene two, Clark killing a man. And scene three, John's pep talk with Clark. Jonathan's pep talk with Clark.
I'm going to say Clark killing the guy.
I'm going to say loft.
Loft.
Loft?
Yeah, because we all agree that Pete needs some roses, some flowers, and I thought that was great.
I just thought the death was so shocking that that'd be your favorite scene, guy died.
It took me a little too long to like actually accept that. I still don't. Like at the end, I was like, oh, Clark killed a man. And there's going to be no repercussions. No, I thought Pete, Sam did a great job in that scene, and he was... convincing, and I like when Clark gets called out on his BS sometimes, and he was really doing that.
Yeah.
All right, that's it for the episode. Stick around next week as we fascinate over season 3, episode 14, Obsession. Let us know your thoughts. Take the discussion online. You know all our socials. Write a review. It really helps on Apple. It really helps the show and gets more popularity if you want it to be popular. Thanks for listening. Patreon.com/TalkVille if you want to become a patron and give the show back. Back to the show. And you know, everything, if you go to my Instagram at the Michael Rosenbaum, the link tree is there with all the Talkville podcasts to get cool merch. Inside of You online store is on there, so you can get this cool sweet jacket. I gotta send you one, Tom. It's dope. They're so comfortable. I wear it all the time. Last episode I wore it, remember?
Mm-hmm. I do.
All right, if you want more information, all of that, you know where to go, and the hotline and all that stuff. This has been great. We got off on tangents, and we do that sometimes, but today was a real tangent. We'll see if it gets cut. But Tom,
Tune in next week for the new episode, Tangent.
Ryan, why don't you say it? Remember, folks.
Oh, real quick. I'm going to Vancouver tomorrow for a bachelor party. So you guys got to tell me where to go.
What?
We're actually going all the way up to Whistler.
Go to Gotham Steakhouse for a nice steak. Go to Tojo's Sushi for some sushi.
Yeah.
Anywhere on Robson, you'll find some cool shopping.
There's a great oyster bar in Yaletown. It's like beers and oysters and like, oh.
Go to Granville Island. You'll love Granville Island. It's really cute. There's a cool place to get fish and stuff. And there's like little.
Yeah, it's really cute. Great time for a bachelor party. Go to a cute island.
Great time. All right. Say it, Ryan.
Remember, folks, always hold on to Smallville.
All right. Last but not least, our lovable patrons. We love you. Thanks for joining. Patreon.com/TalkVille. And these are the top tiers who really give back. We loved hanging out with you in D.C. And we'll do that again sometime. Maybe like once a year or something. We'll once every couple of years. Just kidding. Here we go. Nikki G, Leanne P, Raj C, Santiago M, Little Lisa, Thomas the Leaf Blower, Sophie M, Betsy D, Ray H, Harada, Karen Apple M, Danielle B, 99 More, Leilani N, Brett G, Always Hold On to Smallville.
Esteban G, DJ Kento, Garrett W, Kimberly L, Tom N, Jason W, Osama A, Lana Rams with Banana. All right, fine.
I got
a lot of flack for that. Nancy D from DC. Brian G, Sarah W, Amanda R, Teddy 127, Michael P, Theo M, Ryan R, and Jordan M.
Hillary B, Randy B, Craig G. That kind of rhyme there. Hillary B, Randy B, Craig G, Christy R, Karen P, Jor L, Heather and Greg. Got to meet a lot of these folks there. Nico P, I Made Smallville Say Butts. We met you too. Brian H, Eric K, Kristen B, Craig C, Nanine W.
Stephanie K, Darth, Achilles, Finky, Tamara H, Stephen F. Damn, who's that? Jeanette E. Deadvid, General Zod, Big D. Doug R.
I knew it.
Carlos C. Tommy Z. Boston 68. Ken the Limerick guy. Corey L. He should write a limerick for us. Mr. Home Arcade. Amanda K. Jesse C. Claire M. D. Brown. Karen Ira. M. Elden Supremo. Leslie V. McBurts. Ginger Moose. Christopher S. Christoph S. I'm sorry. Michelle M. Drew. Brittany S. Marisol P. What up? Michael Caine doesn't blank.
Mike
Sebastian
Kane
F. Blank. Sourpuss, Cranky Pants, Matthew and Lincoln B, Carol B, the Coopers.
That's, yeah, that's, you know, Sourpuss, Cranky Pants, Wolfie. Wolfie's hilarious. Oh my gosh. She was something else. Marion Louise L, CGO, Cindy C, Nikki L, Bish, Bash, Bosch's Lemon Pled, Shannon, Fofan, and M, Brian S, Tina E, Matt R, Anthony R, Jess, or Jen T, Jen, Jess D, Cassie B, Felicia R, Danny M, DS the RN, JS, Rachel D, Gingerous Primus, and Nate Danger. Remember them at the Smallville Nights?
Yep.
Gingerous Prime and Nate Danger, little Nate. When you're rich, you aren't crazy, you're eccentric. Paul W, Jonas 1, Samantha S, Derek Smallville Podcast, Sage C, Spicy Brown Says, Carrie A, we love you, we adore you. Thanks for making this possible.
Gracias.